been about a year since Cindy Krupp created Aga Hat Co., a hat company that embraces her native roots and looks to her ancestors for inspiration. And what does Aga mean? It means wool or hair from any animal. She chose that name since she uses rabbit fur felt and vintage beaver fur felts to make her hats. Today, my guest is Cindy Krupp of Aga Hat Co. Welcome to State of the Arts.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
So it's neat because last time we were here, we were talking about pins and needles, which you're still doing a whole lot of textile work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But hats.
Yes. I've been passionate about hats for a really long time. I was at FIT, or Fashion Institute of Technology. I wanted to go into the accessories program, but I never did. I just finished my fashion degree and then moved on to other things. But here I am, pretty much self-taught.
Making hats.
Making hats.
But everything is handmade. I think people think, well, walk us through it, because I don't know if folks have an idea of what goes into making a hat. But I've seen your wood molds. I've seen you steam them. I've seen you lovingly brush them and mold them.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about the beaver fur felt because I'm very passionate about upcycling vintage beaver fur felts instead of buying new ones. So I get the felt or an old cowboy hat, and basically I bathe it, clean it, steam it, and then reshape it on a vintage wood block. I have some that are about 100 years old.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, but they're still here. And unfortunately, I think there's only two companies that are making them. I think one is in Poland and one is in Italy.
And so you just have to keep out on the hunt for those.
Yeah, I search for on eBay for vintage ones.
And how do you deal with our different size heads? Because, like, I mean, I know the mold is a mold, but then...
I've tried to buy a lot of different sizes in the open crown, which is more of the traditional kind of like Billy Jack style, which is a Native American style-ish. I mean, there's so many. As for shaping and other shapes, I use sizers. So I cut pieces of wood kind of to fit your size. And then just to like fix it to like make it fit your head.
it ends up working out for the most part, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of work in that to size it like by hand. It's no machines. It's all by hand. Yeah.
And how did you decide? I mean, I know you said like you thought about going into accessories, but then you're like one day you just woke up and said, I'm going to make a hat.
Yes. There is the open crown hat, which I've always wanted. And I couldn't find it anywhere. So then I did find one, but then it was about $800. And I totally understand the work that goes into handmade hats. So I decided, being in New York still at that time, I went to a hat company, basically where you buy felts, more of a supply company.
Yeah.
And so I bought a felt and I bought a block on eBay and I made a hat with the guidance of a friend that she's a milliner and she just gave me some tips. And she's like, do this, and then just go on, do it. Okay. And so I did.
And the hat's still kicking? Do you still wear it?
I still wear it. The black one that's on my Instagram and on the website with the beading is the one that I made for
myself.
That's
the original hat.
Yes, yeah.
So you go from making a hat to yourself to I'm going to start a company. And this is after you started your needles and pins.
Pins and needles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What within you said, you know what? It's time to do a hat company.
Well, I saw that more people wanted that style, and I thought maybe I could do it a little bit more affordable. My hats are still a little bit on the higher end because of the materials that I use.
And they're handmade.
They're handmade. It takes a lot of time.
I mean, you spend a whole lot of time nursing these hats into shape. It's
right.
Not a
Yeah,
quick
the brim
and easy
is
thing.
Also another thing. So you set the crown, then you set the brim. You sew in the sweat liner, which are leather, vegetable tanned, so there's no chemical in it. I make the lining myself. I created a stamp for it. So, yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I know you're taking your handmade hats over to Las Artistas.
Yes, I'll be there today.
Which, fancy that, right?
And tomorrow. Yes. I do want to say that, okay, so the hats are a little bit on the higher end price point, but they're meant to last you a lifetime. And mm-hmm. I think that's the issue with these beaver fur felts that I've, found. They were not taken care of, but they're still here. It's a beautiful, like, you can't let this felt just rot,
You have to try really hard, right?
And save it, yeah. And so that's the thing. You take care of your hat. That's it.
Right.
And it'll be here forever.
So the beaver felts, how do you find them? Or where are you hunting for
these
vintage?
So I bid on them on eBay.
That's
again,
the
that's the
market.
Only thing. I have actually gone to thrift stores here. And I have not been very successful at finding them. So maybe that's good because people are taking care of their hats. Mm-hmm. But I've gone to other cities and have found some really great old cowboy hats and then bidding on them. And yeah, they're not inexpensive either because I'm bidding on them. But
you
got to
do it. Yeah. It's happening. It's working. And yeah. Folks are ordering hats.
Yes.
And then you kind of marry your beadwork with the hats because I know you do these really elaborate. Well, they can be as elaborate
as you want. Yes, as you want. So if you don't want to like a whole hat bead woven, then you could have like a braided one, a leather braided with some peyote stitch on it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I love beading. So I think that's.
I know. I saw some of your, like, you have these, like, flat beads that I've seen you do on the hats.
The Mayuki beads. Yeah. Those are, they lay really flat. It's really pretty.
Can we talk about your journey? Because I was on your website and the whole aga word and you talking about how you thought you were one thing, but it turns out you're another.
Yeah. So many years.
Tell us that story.
46 years of my life being border people.
Right.
You know, this is El Paso, and it means the pass. And the migration has been happening for forever. And my ancestors would go from New Mexico, you know, the Four Corners, like Navajo Nation area, go down to Mexico, come back up. You just keep going back and forth. So some of my family settled here after, well, we know the history of what happened. And, well, they basically said we were Mexican as a method of survival. You know, another way. And
who would doubt that, right?
Yeah, of course. We're all one people, you know. Right. And so then we find out 46 years later when I ask my mom and she's like, oh, yeah, we are Navajo. And I'm like, what?
You're like, really?
Wait, what? But, you know, when I was a kid, we would go to the Mescalero Apache Reservation every year. And I remember going to the powwows there and having a new pair of moccasins and I could never forget that. And I always wondered, why did we do that? Like, why was that a thing with my mom in her, you know?
And she never told you?
She never told me, no. And she lived on a reservation. She didn't tell me that until a few years ago. And so it's all like this journey of now figuring out who I am and embracing who I was.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, both are clearly a part of of who you are. Mm-hmm. But did your mom ever tell you why she didn't share
the
those
pain
stories?
She told me about being on the reservation.
She's
and
like, I just can't deal
the
with
food rations, or what she called them, commodity foods. And when the government would just drop off the food. And yeah, she just didn't want to talk about it.
She's like, I've moved on. Yeah. We live a new reality and my kids are happy. Everything's great.
Mm-hmm.
But now here you are.
And here I am. Yeah. Basically embracing the past or like my ancestors, my mom's life, you know, or like my new life. I don't know.
For not having had the knowledge your entire journey, it's kind of, I mean, do you think this was the right time for you to find out or do you wish you knew?
I think it was a perfect time because I think it all kind of tied in together of wanting to come back to El Paso.
Yeah.
After being in New York for 20 years and I was not happy and coming back, it's a new life. It's appreciating where I am, the beautiful like sky and the mountains and the plants, everything about it.
Right, you're like, whoa,
yay,
you
I'm
can
excited,
see it now.
And, you know, traveling, going up to like New Mexico, and it's so much easier to do these things while I'm here now.
Well, and I think you're also part of the generation. There's like this generation of El Pasoans that left, and they're like, we're never coming back.
Right.
I don't know what this town did to y'all, but like,
offended. And that's the thing. I didn't grow up here, so it was hard for me. I was 7 years old when I left. Lived in California for most of my life. But then came back for a few years, got married, and we went to New York. And most of my life has been in New York, you know?
So you didn't really get to
No, I never got to experience.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I was here for 4 years before we left.
So then it is the right time.
Yeah. Everything's coming together.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
But not only that, you're back and you're doing stuff. I mean, you're making
I'm
things happen.
I'm excited about being here.
Yes, and you can tell. And then you're sharing your craft with others. You're teaching at the Museum of Art.
Mm-hmm.
Are you teaching hat making yet?
I did teach one person. She requested it because she inherited a hat mold from her grandmother and wondered what she could do with it. And so we ended up doing a very like 20s modernized like cloche kind of hat.
Yeah.
You know, those old really close.
Yeah.
And she was so excited and that made me happy. So she supplied her own hat block and I was like, okay, let's do it.
And so you did it.
And it, yeah. It was great.
And same thing with the pins and needles. I mean, I know you've been teaching folks how to knit and mm-hmm. how to do all the intricate beadwork.
Yeah, weaving. Also, I've started to do that with the kids at EPMA. Whenever I have a workshop, I try to introduce that because I think it's great for children to start weaving. Some of them may not have the attention span, like the level of attention to continue to do it, but it's great for their dexterity, their, for their...
their hand motion. Mm-hmm.
And it also, I think it sparks... Like, you can create anything. You can make something. It doesn't have to be perfect, you know?
Right, and out of anything, too.
Out of anything, you could tear up paper. Yeah, exactly. You could just do whatever you want. So, yeah, I've been doing that. And hopefully at the Museum of History. So they've contacted me. So hopefully that happens next year. But
that's going to be so cool.
Yeah.
So you've got the hat company. You've got your hats going on at Las Artistas this weekend.
Yes.
Anything else we should look for? Because I know you always have something up your sleeve.
Well, I've been doing a lot of more bead work, which has turned into having a couple shows here in El Paso. Some of my work is still at EPMA and as for the teaching artists. And I had a show at Sholo Gallery, but next year I have a show planned at the Museum of the Southwest. So I'm excited
How
about
amazing.
That.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And maybe a couple other things, but I'm not going to talk about
right.
that.
Right. Yeah,
can't talk about
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Not until it's like in stone.
Exactly.
There you have it. Instagram is a really cool way to check out your hats and to see your process. Mm-hmm. I feel like you do a really good job of telling us and showing us what goes into making your hats.
Yeah.
You also have a cool website. You can look up Aga Hat Company, Hat Co. Mm-hmm. It's A-G-H-A-A. Mm-hmm. And you can find all you need to know about the hats. Or you could just go down to Las Artistas this weekend.
Oh, yeah, then visit, please.
Yes, come and meet
the hats.
Just
come by and say hi. That's it. You don't have to buy a hat.
But come by and say hi. Today, my guest has been hat maker, textile artist, a little bit of everything extraordinaire, Cindy Krupp. Thank you for coming to
Thank
State of the Arts.
Thank you for having me.